Hey everyone, this is Ali Amagasu, coming to you live with the latest episode of Cloud Unfiltered. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever it is, wherever you are. It's actually just about evening where I am. And we're excited because this week we've got a terrific guest from Cisco. He is the Director of Product Management for Multi-Cloud Solutions, and his name is Lax Sakulkale. Lax, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time here.
Sure. And I've also got our regular co-host, Val Benincosa. Hey, Val.
Hey, Ali. Hey, Lax. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Hey, how are you?
Thanks for joining, Val. So, Lax, let's jump right into it. Cisco, before we get to the multi-cloud questions I have for you, let's talk a little bit about how you got into tech. We're always curious. We've heard some really interesting stories about how folks got into this world that we live in. How did you come about it?
Yeah, it's probably another interesting twist in the different stories you heard. So my story is something like this. I'm a middle child with a family of doctors around me. Anything that broke at home, they thought it's my fault because I am the only one in engineering. So I started in engineering that way. Imagine the pressure growing up, like a bulb goes off, whatever. Hey, Lax, go fix it. So I grew up that way. I got into technology from the standpoint that I wanted to make a difference. I want to kind of learn and use it to benefit us, to have a better living with the technology, better usage of technology. That's how I got into it. And my first interaction with technology was creating a product. And that's why I kind of always remained as a engineer, but product guy at heart. So,
have you always been at Cisco?
No, so I've been at Cisco for last 3.5 years, but I've been a Silicon Valley guy for last 27 years. Did a few startups and a few big companies, but predominantly in the enterprise software world. So I would say I've been kind of touched with the enterprise world. And even SPs, to that matter, for quite some time. And it's been a joyful ride so far, let me say this.
Sounds like a high-pressure environment from the very beginning with your family saying, Lax, you got to fix this. You got to fix this. Just nonstop deadlines and people telling you to having to deliver all the time.
Well, when the parents stop, guess what? The customers start, and they tell you, okay, this product needs to do this, Lax. And we thought this is the value, or hey, you're missing this. No, it's been great. So I got to prove myself every time, and maybe that's the joy you get. Like, hey, I got a chance to prove myself again.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today and for sharing that. So the reason you were interesting to us and why we wanted to talk to you is Cisco's had a lot of cloud announcements coming out lately.
Yeah.
And I think our customers and our audience would probably like to get a better understanding of what this all means, how it all fits together. And I think one of the big announcements in the last couple months has been the multi-cloud portfolio. Yep. And I'm hoping that you can explain to me, what was the need? What was the driver for the multi-cloud portfolio? Why do we have it? And what is it? What's in it?
Yeah, what the heck is a multi-cloud portfolio?
Well, so let's start like one word at a time. What's multi-cloud, right? So people kind of get that sometimes head around, wrapped up around that and get confused. So multi-cloud is really, as it would say, multiple clouds. And so
right, like Amazon, Google, your own on-prem, all that stuff, right?
Exactly. Okay. And many times multi-cloud involves at least one public cloud. You know, and then you may have your private cloud, you may have some other partner clouds, whatnot. But the whole context behind the multi-cloud portfolio, and let me kind of speak to that a little bit. If you look at the enterprises from, let's say, 15 years back, and I remember my first interaction with VMware Stuff Workstation. They had that product a long, long time ago. Well, the whole enterprises, they grew and they took the journey of adding efficiencies in data centers, scaling the data centers, agility. These are new buzzwords for some, but quite frankly, that has been the kind of the metric and the measure of how they want to drive the IT in enterprise. But if you look at that same journey forward to where we are now, there has been a lot of challenges IT faced, enterprise IT faced particularly, and SPs from their angle as well. And some of the challenges were, okay, how do I make things faster? A line of business is coming to me that, hey, give me this environment, and the only timeline I can give from IT is going to take 18 months. But that's not acceptable to the LOBs. And guess what started after that? Shadow IT, right? The whole enterprise IT was completely out of the loop. The line of business developers, they went ahead and the public cloud came to life with Amazon-like folks and then Azure and Google, and the developers went and created their apps, and IT wasn't part of it. Well, if you look at the time today, the enterprises around the world, especially the IT department, they are realizing very clearly that they got to scale, they got to be agile, they got to be dynamic in terms of leveraging the technology to really give better business outcome. And I'm not saying it for saying of it, but they had to prove it. So they basically have chosen, many of the enterprise IT, to adopt cloud, public cloud, which means it could be infrastructure as a service, it could be platform as a service, or it could be SaaS applications as well, but adopt that as part of the IT and not get stuck with the only way to do that is I want something on that. So they have already on that path in the last, I would say, about a year or so. A lot of customers are coming up with terminologies like, okay, I'm a cloud-first customer. I go to the public cloud first and figure out, and then I figure out if I do need something on that. It's all cool. It's an evolution of IT. But what this has done to the IT, though, in enterprises, enterprises have faced multiple different clouds. So they got SaaS subscription. They got AWS account. Some developers or some other IT folks, they got maybe GCP account. But all these multiple clouds and the complexities that it is bringing to the bear is unbelievably, straightforward on their face. So IT cannot deal with it. And we looked at this, we studied this from Cisco, right? That, okay, if IT wants to bring in public cloud in, and it's not just one cloud, there are multiple clouds, you got to have connectivity from your secure private data. Private network, you got to extend that to them. You got to have ways to protect this assets. You got to have ways to consume this right. That's exactly why we got into the multi-cloud. The Cisco, by far, is probably one of the few enablers for multi-cloud adoption. It's a true enabler who can understand your connectivity needs, protection, security needs, your consumption needs, in this multiple clouds coming together in addition to what you got in your IT on-prem.
So you guys were looking out there and you didn't see anybody else who was kind of filling this gap and saying, you know what, we can bring all these things together.
You know, there are, as I said, the shadow IT thing in the past where the LOBs went ahead and they got their choice of cloud and IT was thrown into it. Hey, we're using this. Can you help me here? If you want to be relevant, help me here. Well, they came up with fragmented solutions because every problem was thought in a silo way, and the fragmented solutions came to the bear. So there are multiple solutions out there for specific problems in multi-cloud, but there's no one vendor or cohesive solution that can put solutions for each of the problem areas, not just one particular problem.
Right.
And you know what happened with the fragmented solution approach? Actually, things got even more complex. That's what happened. And that's how Cisco felt, first of all, we can add some structure to this. And we have taken the strategy for Cisco to really help these customers who are entering into adopting multi-cloud.
So, Lax, what is the portfolio and who is it that you normally talk to? Let me just caveat that with one example. Some of the enterprise customers that I'm familiar with, they would have a platforms team, mm-hmm. and the platforms team might be in charge, or the division might be in charge of maintaining the relationship with public clouds. There might be some guy who's like the expert AWS team, and all the different lines of businesses will go through them to get their own like AWS accounts or things like that. So, how do you want to approach those guys, and what is it that you say to them? that makes it, I mean, you've given us the intro part, but what is the value that Cisco provides to them?
Right. So let me answer.
That's a lot of questions.
No, I know. But you know, hey, you're spot on, right? And well, I mean, these are the right questions, and I hope customers benefit from this. So first of all, let me answer the second question first, and that has a few other questions we had around it. Like, who do you talk to? I mean, who are the people who are driving it? So and then I'll talk about the portfolio and the details of it.
Right, yep. That's the part I was worrying about, is what's the portfolio, right? It suggests it's more than one product. I'd love to know what products are in the portfolio, and are they grouped, and why are they grouped if they are grouped?
So yeah, let's take that on. So multi-cloud portfolio is based on the solution areas that we found out that the customer need the most help on. For example, the portfolio has components called Cloud Connect, Cloud Protect, and Cloud Consume, and we also have Cloud Advisory. And all these four pillars, it's the pillars of the same house, they're all relevant to get your adoption house going for multi-cloud. Hmm. And Cloud Connect has a portfolio of products we got to extend your private networks to the public cloud. Now that could be from your data center, that could be from your branch or campus. And then we have, for Cloud Protect, we have security portfolio that is addressing the need of protecting the users, from the malware, like malware protection from the endpoints, as well as for the mobile devices. Because, you know, these days everybody uses mobile devices. So automating that part, so users, their devices, and also the application data, so SaaS application. So if somebody subscribes to that, you got to secure the data that comes out of it. Make sure there's a lot of expansion of SaaS usage in enterprises today. But they realize soon that, hey, what about the data that comes out of it? Can I protect it? So there's that. And then the applications, especially the new ones or even the old ones that you're trying to migrate to the public cloud, you got to protect those applications too. Now you can use the inherent capability that the public cloud provider provides, but a lot of times these applications are under compliance. You got to have security envelopes around it. You got to protect at the VPC level. So you got to have that custom workload. So we have that as part of the cloud protection. And Cloud Consume, the third one that I talked about, is all about, hey, you know what? We got the multi-cloud environment, and we want to deploy applications to that. Well, we're going to not only deploy once, we're going to have updates to the applications, let's say custom applications, business apps that run the business. I need to update that time to time. Maybe I have an agile way of updating it or what have you, but I need to track the change that I do because I'm under compliance whenever I change that app running on AWS, let's say. I also need governance because since I'm using this multi-cloud environment, particularly public cloud coming in, I want to make sure that I set up some rules for which part of the public cloud I want to use when. The governance is key for a lot of the IT departments. And then the other part also is when you go to the public cloud for running your app. See, the public cloud providers, especially the infrastructure as a service providers, they don't come with the application performance tools. They have inherently. They do have that on marketplace, but you still, as a customer, you got to do your own and set it up. Hmm. Now, that help they do need because, see, it doesn't matter where the application runs, you're still under SLAs. So you got to have that. So Cloud Consume helps you on multi-cloud management for lifecycle and governance, and it also gives you the application performance management. And then the last pillar, which is the key pillar, even though it's last, is Cloud Advisory. A lot of these IT departments who are now taking on bringing public cloud in into the IT, they are struggling to figure out, hey, which are the apps I want to run on the public cloud? They need application dependency mapping. They want to understand because, you know, the authors of that app, the developers, some of them are not even there anymore. They were outsourced developers. They're no longer there. There's no information documenting dependency of the application. So they got to first figure out what applications are suitable that I move to public cloud with low risk. and then go on figuring out, okay, how I'm going to extend my network for that app, if I need some protection, if I need some lifecycle management. So advice is needed every step of the way, activity, protection, and consumption. And that's what the advisory pillar is. So just to sum it up, multi-cloud portfolio has Cloud Connect, Cloud Protect, Cloud Consume, and Cloud Advisory. Does that give you a good idea?
Absolutely. I think it's a nice way of putting all the different blocks. Now, you didn't name any of the specific products, but I'm just thinking, you know, as you're describing some of it, I'm like, okay, so maybe that's AppDynamics that he's talking about. Maybe that's Cisco Umbrella that he's talking about.
Or Tetration.
I mean.
Yeah. See, there you go. I mean, we know. So I'll put it very simple for you in like a 1 minute. Cloud Connect, you got CSRV, you got Viptela VEdge with Umbrella built in. That's your connectivity from branches and DC to the public cloud, extending that. In Cloud Protect, you got Umbrella, you got AMP for Endpoint, you got Meraki Systems Manager for the mobile devices, either iOS or Android. And then you got CloudLock for SaaS application data, and you got Tetration Cloud for custom workloads on the public IaaS providers, right? And then Cloud Consume, you got Cloud Center for multi-cloud management, lifecycle governance, and then you got AppDynamics for your application performance management. And Cloud Advisory, you got a two-week workshop with a customer to go through evaluating the application and overall cloud strategy so that they do the right thing and don't do the wrong step in the spirit of mandates coming down from CIO. So.
When you buy something from that portfolio, does that mean, so say I'm interested in the Protect element, am I signing up for everything in the portfolio, or is it more customized?
Good question. So it is the flexibility we provide in multi-cloud portfolio is amazing. So for example, in let's say you are looking for SaaS subscription, that's your first as IT, you want to kind of move there and kind of control, you know, the protection of data of that. So you can simply go for Cloud Protect and get Cloud Lock in there. No, you don't have to forcefully buy everything. But quite frankly, when you are looking at a multi-cloud strategy these days, all these pieces come to the bear, but you can always phase that in. Maybe you have budget constraints or phases that you go through as a customer. Absolutely, you can plan that out. And advisory is a great step that you can take first and work that out, figure out what you need, and then go for it.
Okay. That's great. I'm sorry, Val. I totally derailed one of your questions. You asked a bunch of other great questions. So if you want to return to those or restate those.
Yeah, I got the question.
I apologize
What you asked me is the first question Val asked. But let me ask the second question. So who do we talk to? I mean, all these customers have different, you know, they have these platform folks and whatnot. So if you look at, it's a good question, by the way, because see, that's also evolving in customers, and the customers can tell us even more. But evolution is interesting. So when the shadow IT was there, and even that could be gone as well, but the platform folks came to play where they said, hey, LBs, let us help you negotiate a better contract. Come on. We can do a much better job for you. We can add value. There's a relevancy of IT towards LOBs. And also, and they were right. They could do a definitely better job. Then came governance, and then came other aspects that they could do it. Now, what's happening interestingly with these enterprises is the silos are kind of breaking down in a way for the right things. And the reason for that is IT is now embracing public cloud as part of their technology pillar in addition to other stuff they have on-prem. What does that mean? Well, what that means is when the IT decided that, okay, I want to go to public cloud, not just be the broker to the LOBs, but I want to also use it for the apps that I run in IT and that I'm managing it. Guess what? I'm going to figure out this project, and the CIOs are funding this left and right. There is this team that is getting developed. So enterprise architect that has direct connection to the CIO's offices. Sometimes they're called cloud architect. Sometimes the platform architect evolve into that, and right. That's fine. And so they become the guys we talk to in terms of, hey, if you have a multi-cloud project, you're going cloud first, you got a CIO, you know, funding for the multi-cloud, We can help you. Let's start with advice. Let's figure out what you need, and we'll get there. This is not about, hey, we're pushing another hardware box down your throat. That's not it. So Cisco is truly showing the value as the key enabler for the multi-cloud adoption.
Cisco's position is, we're going to try to help you to consume these things more responsibly, with a huge focus on security and connectivity, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, if you look at it, connectivity, security is a pillar. We have like a few different pillars here, right? So network, security, analytics, and management. These are the key pillars that we go with. And advisory is kind of on overall on top of it. So those were the technology strengths that we always had, and we are going even more on the multi-cloud management and more to come on that. But the key thing is you give a solution to the customer, to the areas that they have pains, and give consistent solutions. Don't make it fragmented, which has been the case so long.
So that was a great answer as far as who, you know, you go to and who might be interested in this. I know we only announced the product not terribly long ago, but are we starting to see traction with any certain segment? Like you had mentioned cloud first customer, and I thought that was interesting. I'd never heard anybody use the term cloud first before. I'd certainly heard born in the cloud, you know, cloud native. I hadn't heard cloud first, but I like that term. And so is there a specific type of customer or industry where this is showing early signs of gaining traction?
You know, truly, Jamie, it's across the board. You know, traditionally, if you look at the new technologies, you typically see some early adopter industry segments like FSI, financial segment. We've seen that quite a bit. Sometimes we see, some other like high tech industry mm-hmm. segment where they would adopt this technology based newer ways of solving and the problems, the business problem, and giving better business outcome. But in this one, I got to tell you, the multi-cloud is becoming across the industry. There are some laggards, don't get me wrong. So for example, there's some aspects of healthcare. Not everybody in healthcare like that, but there are some aspects of healthcare. They're still in the legacy way of thinking. They still have compliances that don't go away. So there's a lot of rules that they have to follow. So I get that. But even federal guys, I mean, that industry, the public sector, they are actually also showing a lot of interest.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, the reason for that is, look, they all want innovation. They all want better business outcome. They all want agility. The competition is so fierce in different industries, and technology is an enabler for them to differentiate. You got to adopt the multi-cloud. There's no other way of doing it. There are a lot of values each of the cloud providers will give you. And what Cisco has taken the stage on is, look, we want to enable you, customer. We will put structure around these solution problems and give you the solution that works for you. That's the opportunity for us from Cisco. That's the opportunity for across the industry to really get onto this innovation and agility track that they always want to get on.
How do you see it going in the future? You know, as more people adopt this hybrid cloud, and you know, it used to be shadow IT was just these line of business, and now, as you were saying, it seems they've consolidated into the bigger enterprise to help them negotiate contracts with the cloud providers and stuff. So, I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, what's the
so a couple of things, right? So I think there's definitely these are the beginning times of how the multiple cloud, services, if you will, is going to help the customers, enterprises in different industries to get that better business outcome. They are going through the era of resolving complexity. They will go through an era, some of them are already there, the era of scaling what they use better. Then they will go through the whole, and this may be a parallel track, of creating the business applications, leveraging this technology from the beginning. Let's not wait for that. So the cloud native stuff started from LOBs. That's a great foot forward already. Usage of containers, absolutely spot on. But see, there are so many legacy applications that run on virtualized environments that require a database to be run on you know, bare metal, you know, server in their corner of that rack, and they can take that database data out to the public cloud because of compliance reasons and whatnot. Even though there's so much strong security offered by each of the cloud providers, the complexity of networking does not go away because of the sheer nature of some of the enterprise services will always remain on-prem, at least that's how we see it now. But going fast-forwarding, there is a dream that some of the cloud-first customers have, is that I have no IT on-prem.
Right.
Everything I do runs in the cloud. I focus on my business. I give the most agile, most rapid platform for creating new business app when I need it. I don't have the delay of 18 months anymore. That's the dream they have. They're not fully there yet. I think a lot of reasons that are behind it, but let me say, that's the dream that everybody has, that, hey, look, it runs on the cloud. Well, somebody has to make it all connect. Somebody has to protect it. Somebody has to offer the lifecycle governance aspect of what goes on it to run on that environment. Those problems are spot on still, and they will continue to grow, and we will get better to learn those pains to produce better solutions.
That's interesting, because we work with, you know, I feel like Cisco works with a bunch of companies that are very technically savvy and are advanced, and they are cloud-first thinkers. But I wonder about companies who feel like they're getting left behind. I know there have to be CIOs out there who feel like, oh my God, I'm getting my butt kicked by this cloud thing, and it seems like so much to undertake. Where do we even begin? What do you feel like the percentages are? Like, how many customers do you feel like you run into that are all the way there, part of the way there, and how many are just way behind? Because we have to be ahead, right? We're designing the solutions. Yeah, we have to be ahead.
Totally.
But how far back are the customers?
So I'll give you numbers. This is from our IDC thing, but if I were to even take the number of the customers I talk to and number of EBCs I do, mm-hmm. a customer briefing when they come to San Jose here, I got to tell you, the IDC numbers, it's gone to 94%
of the customers.
Oh. Of the customers in the survey, we found out they have plans or already have multiple cloud strategy in their IT. So the awareness of using the multi-cloud, it's here, guys. It's here. There are laggards. So it's not 100%. Some of the sales guys told me that some of the folks argued, Max, it has to be 100%. Because I run into every customer, and they got a cloud project going on. They want to be cloud first. They want to adopt multiple clouds. Mm. Yes, not everybody wants only public cloud. They want to have a hybrid cloud. They want to have a private cloud as well. So look, I mean, the every enterprise out there, or even some of the medium-sized businesses out there, or smaller as well, they all want to reap the benefit from this cloud services, whether they run the apps on it or they subscribe to it. They really want to focus on their business, because the business competition in every industry is absolutely fierce. So that's really driving this, to be frank with you.
I think that's really positive that many, that high of a number, 94%, yes, have plans.
Yes.
And are embracing this. And I think that kind of aligns with what you said earlier about, you know, it went from shadow IT. And as someone who's been in the cloud space for a while myself, you know, that's what we were driving it before. You're saying, hey, your developers are running your IT system without you. You're not getting to participate. They're doing it. And then they became brokers of IT. And now taking a leadership position where instead of just being a broker, they're going to the public cloud, you know, vendors, and saying, look, we want this. We want to be in control of this. We want to set this up in a logical, efficient way. And that's
exactly
exciting.
Exactly. You know, the one of the phenomena that happened, and this is an interesting one, I'm sure some of the listeners would nod on this, because of the shadow IT, it not only gave a more visibility of what cloud can do and can help with some of the successes they have seen. I know that IT didn't have control, I get it. But because of that, two things happened. Either the CIOs kind of said, you know what, well, let's learn and get not just up for the controlling it, but let's step ahead and be, mm-hmm, ahead of the game and help the LOBs. The others, they got fired and new CIOs showed up. And they came with that skill set that, look, we can leverage public cloud into our IT mix and take our company to the next level and give the LOBs what they're looking for, and so that IT is relevant all over again. That's basically the mantra.
That makes sense. Hey, there's I don't want to hog up the questions, Val, if there's something you're wanting to ask, but for me, kind of the big unmentioned thing so far is the Google announcement, the Cisco Google announcement. How does multi-cloud weave into all that? It's confusing for me right now, and I work at Cisco. I can only imagine it's confusing for those outside.
Yeah, so I'll talk about, so there's blogs out there for this announcement. Those who are technically tickled, they can go through that a little bit. There's a nice blog by Google guy, and also there's an announcement and blog by Cisco. But the key crux of this is, I mean, I'll just net it out for you guys, is so Google and Cisco, they bring best of both worlds, if you look at it. First of all, why this partnership even makes sense? Well, first, with the multi-cloud context, it absolutely makes sense. Google really wants Cisco to help on network security, helping bridge to the private cloud that we kind of have and delivered and keep delivering with the enterprises. Google absolutely wants to leverage that. Now, network security is not just for on-prem, but they want that help all the way to the public cloud platform they have called GCP, Google Cloud Platform. And they see that Cisco can bring that best to that world of multi-cloud. And they themselves, guess what? They're so developer-friendly. They're bringing in PaaS services. They're bringing in a lot of cloud services. They acquired this company called Apigee, which gives a developer a way to tap into that legacy enterprise, into that cloud native app that they are running. Google is all about cloud native apps. I mean, these guys, they are ahead of the game in terms of the vision, the kind of things they are trying to preach with Kubernetes, running it at a higher scale. I mean, if anybody knows hyperscale data center, Google absolutely does.
Totally.
And yeah, and they're bringing that to the bear. They're also working with us. They see that, look, if Cisco can help with their strength in networking, security, analytics for applications and management for multi-cloud, we can bring in cloud services, developer kind of a network. We can bring in scale, hyperscale platform for IaaS, PaaS, and bring this whole thing together as a hybrid solution, or a solution that is, these days people talk about serverless, but this is really an environment that the IT doesn't have to think through, that is my application going to scale? Do I have enough horsepower? With this solution together, you can focus on your business apps, deploy it on the containers, you can get into a cloud native app, deploy it on container, and then everything is scaled, and your business grows, your app needs more power, absolutely, you can use it without having to do an IT project. So Google sees that, right? So that's basically why they're partnering with Cisco. And this solution is geared towards cloud first, as well as the guys who are starting with a hybrid approach. They want to keep something on-prem, and they want to say, you know what, I want to scale the app, and then maybe some apps will live there in the public GCP, some will use both, some will stay on-prem, but I always have this fantastic channel between the on-prem power that Cisco has to the GCP hyperscale, and this stuff together just works. That's the value of the partnership.
Awesome. That's very helpful to understand that. Now, what I wonder is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this partnership is meant to, you know, produce things long term. But right now, I don't think there's anything specifically for sale from the partnership, right? Like you can actually go and engage with Cisco right now and you know, purchase multi-cloud solutions. You can purchase those pillars or elements of those pillars, but
absolutely,
there's nothing for sale from the Google partnership yet, right?
Right, that's true. I mean, that's coming up next calendar year, so definitely. These projects, they take time when you
sure.
plan it. So work, I would say, hey, enterprise customer, work with Cisco to figure out what your strategy looks like. And This is not the only option we have, but this definitely has a tighter partnership with Google. Expect something similar across the board, but Cisco is going to be true enabler to enable you to either have GCP on-prem, have AWS and SaaS applications, and you name it. The multi-cloud portfolio is here today. So if those who are already using some public cloud and they got this different fragmented solution, complexity, they want to figure that out, and IT is now going after a public cloud as a first-class citizen in IT, and they want to start figuring this out, which apps to go there, multi-cloud portfolio is here today. So start leveraging that. When it comes down to Google partnership, plan that. If you're looking for, hey, you know what, I'm going to develop my apps on GCP, and I want this scalable hybrid environment, you can get started on it from the private point of view. So you can get the private cloud stuff from us with the HyperFlex and others. And then you can always add this to it when it comes out. So the tighter integration between the GCP and the technologies like Istio, for example, which sits in the middle, and others, will really take this to the next level. And we hope customers see it that way. But plan for it. So it's coming next year in terms of availability, but we are in the game now.
That's great. So Val, I'm hearing all this and it sounds great to me. Are there holes you would punch in this technically? Is there a reason you think this doesn't work? It sounds great to me. If I'm a customer who's struggling with cloud, I go, yes, these guys, they built the network. They are working with Google, which is all I get asked about right now. When I want to talk about a cloud solution from Cisco, all they want to talk about is Google.
Right.
Cool. So, which is why I almost felt like we need to get out the word saying, there's nothing to buy yet. Calm down.
Yeah, I guess that I know that we're short on time here, but
okay.
I mean, Lax, one question. Why would we announce a partnership with Google when we don't deliver anything right now?
So two things, right? I mean, a good way to put it, but it's not. So think about it this way, right? It's a solution. So the many of the solution components, they exist today.
Right.
Think about it, right? So if you look at the Google partnership, right, we're doing Cisco, so we got private cloud solutions. So take a look at HyperFlex, for example. We got a private cloud infrastructure that has connectivity with Cloud Consume, for example. So the multi-cloud portfolio is leveraged today for you to create a hybrid cloud, if you will. You could do that today. What we're doing with the Google announcement is we're taking that further with a much better tighter integration. But you can start your game. If you're looking for GCP, you can start that today with the private cloud aspects that does connect with public clouds out there. So it's not like this is the first time we're integrating with GCP. With our cloud management platform, we support that today.
So for example, you could run Cisco HyperFlex, and then you could put Cisco Cloud Center on it, and then you could deploy applications to Google
Absolutely.
Cloud Platform.
Absolutely.
So that's Absolutely. Something that's already there today. This announcement doesn't affect that today, but in the future it may make something more tighter integrated or a tighter solution. And that's
it will basically open up more services that Google has to help you further. But if you're starting that today, you want to be kind of early in the game. You have full baked solutions for that hybrid optics from the cloud point of view. Get that, you can always get that started. You are using GCP, so you are familiar with that, so that's cool. None of that goes away. It's just that we are, the partnership really takes the integration with the public cloud providers like GCP to the next notch, to bring in the services, bring in more aspects, leveraging this multi-cloud broker in the central, things like that. So it's an evolution,
right?
But today, we have multi-cloud solutions you can use, and multi-cloud portfolio is a great example of, hey, you can use this today, you can plan this today, you want to go for Google, this partnership really gives you a confidence and protection in your investment, because we are not only integrating as a technology partner, but we are doing special partnership there with these guys to make sure you get the business outcomes that you want for the future apps, not just apps today. But you have that relief that, hey, look, Cisco is behind this for a longer haul.
So it sounds like we're going to have you back when there's more things that are announced as well, right?
Absolutely.
Got to figure out like what else has been going on. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. We're just about running out of time, but I do thank you for coming on today, Lax, and sharing this insight. I know I needed it. I apologize to the audience if it sounded too pitchy. I try not to sell Cisco on this podcast, but I really wanted people to understand what the difference is between the various things we're announcing, what's available now and what isn't, what it all means for the future. And I think you did an excellent job of that, Lax, so thank you. Are there any events we should know about that you will be at or a representative of your team talking about multi-cloud for folks who in the world, in our tech world, who may be attending events?
Yeah, so I typically attend the usual events, if you will. The Cisco Live that's coming up in Barcelona, so I'll be there. If there are other events, I do get pulled into doing kind of a keynote type thing or session on multi-cloud. So I always, I would say Cisco Live would be, if you're a Cisco customer and or you want to be and you want to come to Cisco Live, especially in that side of the world, definitely come and talk to me. I'm typically open. Same thing with Cisco Live here in Americas and other parts of the world, and then other industry events like Gartner and others. So I do attend that, but I would say my next thing is end of January, Cisco Live in Barcelona.
Excellent. Very cool. Excellent. Well, thanks again, both you guys. I appreciate you being on today, and we'll look forward to talking again in the future, Lax.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Lax. Right. Great to meet you.
Same here.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.